great to be back with you again today. And we get to continue looking at Romans 10 together. Last week we started it. We got about halfway through. And today we're going to finish it. But let's go back and review, because it's a thought that continues. Now, I'm a teacher. For those of you that don't know me, I am actually a teacher, more by profession than... Yes. And so, as a teacher... Hey, it's okay. Because then we're going to have to keep moving it. So, it'll work. I think this will work just fine. So, as a teacher, I like to use visual aids. I think it helps those of us that are visual learners. Look at that. All of the education words coming out like crazy. Okay. So, we're going to use a little visual aid just to remember what we were studying last week. As we were looking at Romans 10, the first half, we were looking at God and man, and we were looking at the Israelites and how they were zealous for God and yet without understanding. But we need to kind of go back in the story, and let's look at it this way. All right, so in the beginning, some of this is stuff that I'm sure you're aware of, so we're just going to do this. We've got God, and God has been, is, and always will be. He is eternal. And God created man to have fellowship with him. And when he created man, they had a wonderful relationship in the Garden of Eden. If you remember, they would walk together in the garden. And together, man would have eternal life with God. But if you remember more of the story of the Garden of Eden, and if you remember the beginning, then man chose to go his own way. He made a decision to not listen to God and to make his own way. That problem has continued. We've chosen to make our own decisions. We've chosen to not let God be king of our lives. And that problem that is called sin has separated us from God. When we chose that, we no longer could be in the presence of a perfect God. And there was separation. Now, if God is equals eternal life and or is eternal and man with God has eternal life, then man without God has?
Death.
Death. Thank you. See, I'm a teacher. You got to work with me. All right. Death. Now we have a problem. And this is the problem the Israelites and we, as humans today, are continually trying to work out. How can we restore that relationship with God? How can we be back in relationship with God? How can we deal with this problem of sin? Well, I've got one. I can go to church. Mm-hmm. Oh, that only got me that far. I thought that was a pretty good one. What else could we do? What can we do that are some good things that help us be closer to God?
Help the poor.
Help the poor. Oh, that's a good one. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, let's try that one. Oh, actually, we're doing, so that's probably even better than just going to church. So it's good. It's a little closer. Oh, we're still a long ways. What's something else?
Be kind.
Being kind. Very important. Very important. Now, we see this problem. No matter how good we try to be, we're still far from being righteous and being able to be in the presence of a righteous God. God knew this was a problem we couldn't solve. And so, it tells us that he sent his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God came as Jesus. He sent his son to come to earth to live among us. And when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then returned to heaven, by doing so, he made a way for us to return. Now, the one there's a better... better image, I didn't draw this one very well. He actually paid the price of sin and made a way for us to have a restored relationship with God. The way is there. The way to righteousness was given to us through Jesus Christ, not in what we can do, not by our means, by accepting what Christ did. And that's what we were learning about. That's what we were talking about last week. The righteousness from God. Not self-righteousness, not from ourselves, not from our trying as hard as we want, but the righteousness that can only come from God. And it's when we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, declare Jesus as Lord, that we will be saved. And it says, everyone, Romans 10, 13, that was the last verse we ended with last week, and it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. Let's pray and ask the Lord to teach us today what he'd like us to learn. God, will you just come and be with us today? Help us to learn from you today. May we have ears to hear from you. May you be the one who's speaking. Let us learn from you, Lord. Amen. All right, so this kind of brings us up to where we were for this week. Now, we're starting in Romans 10:14 today. Now remember, it just ended, I'm going to back up a verse, just to remind you, just reminded with the verse 13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Now, as we look at this passage, we can see four conditions that need to be met for someone to be able to call upon the name of the Lord. He writes them kind of in reverse order, and starting in verse 14, but we're going to look at them in the more logical order, which is reverse. But he was doing this for emphasis. But if you look at it, what he's saying is that for the conditions to be met, for someone to be able to call on the name of the Lord, someone has to be sent. Someone has to preach. It has to be heard. And they have to believe. That's what we're looking at. And here now, if we put this back in context of Romans 10, if we go back to the beginning, remember this whole passage is being written. And Paul starts out saying, oh, what I wouldn't give for the Israelites to be saved. For them to understand and be saved. And so here he's kind of, this passage today that we're looking at, he's kind of dealing with, where did it break down? Why do they not believe? Where did this process not work out right? So as we look at it, let's take it down. Let's break it down also, like he does. He breaks it down. He says, okay, someone has to be sent. Well, as we look at the passage, people have been sent. And as you remember in some of your other, as you've read through the Bible, we've looked at the prophets were sent. Jesus was sent, right? I mean, people have been sent to the Israelites. And in verse 15, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. People have been coming, bringing the good news. People have been sent. Okay? Have they preached the message of Christ? Have they preached? Have they given the message? This one he addresses in verse 17. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard, that's an ongoing tense, is heard through the word of Christ. We also know they've heard because he goes on to explain the other two. So he's establishing these two. He goes through pretty quickly. Yes, people have been sent. Yes, the message has been preached. All right? Well, if that's the case, did the Israelites hear? And this is where Paul begins to spend a little bit more time looking at this. He says, did they hear? Which, by the way, have you heard? This is still one of the common objections used today. Well, if God is a good God, This can't all be true, that this is the way, the only way to heaven, because what about all the people that haven't heard? You heard that one? It's a pretty common objection used even today. All right, so he's dealing with this. Well, maybe the Israelites haven't heard. Now, he's dealing with these issues because he cares and loves the Israelites. So that's why he's looking at, where did this break down? Where did this, why is this not working out right? And he says, did they hear? And he answers himself, of course they did. Of course they did. In verse 18, he quotes back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19:4. I'm going to read actually Psalm 19:1-4, because it gives a little bit additional context for us. And here's what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun. Oh, sorry. That way I jumped. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And in Romans, where we've been studying all year, Romans addresses this too, actually. If we want to stay right within Romans, Romans 1, 19 and 20 addresses the same thing. It says, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly sent, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. God has revealed himself to all of the world through his creation. This would be a general revelation. How many of us have looked at the majesty of the mountains when it's clear enough to see them, and in awe of the greatness? It's springtime. How many of you have taken a minute to look at the grass and even among the weeds and seen the beautiful flowers with such intricate detail that are even among the weeds? The detail, the love, the splendor, the majesty of our Lord is revealed in his creation. But he didn't stop there. He also made sure that the Israelites and we have heard through more specific revelation. I mean, all throughout the Old Testament, think of the testimonies of people. The Old Testament testimonies of people. Think about the prophets who came and prophesied about the Messiah. Think about Jesus. I mean, how much more direct of a message could he be sending than sending his own son and the apostles? And by the way, Jesus and the apostles were sent first to the Israelites and then to the Gentiles. The Israelites had heard. So verse 19, he asked the next questions. Well, maybe it's that they didn't understand. Maybe they heard but didn't understand. And he answers that question too. It's pretty obvious that if you look at this, the Israelites did understand. For he says, Moses, he quotes Moses, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. The fact that he's saying by a nation that has no understanding indicates that he believes the Israelites have understanding. And in fact, the message is so clear, the message that's come through Christ and through the apostles is so clear, that not only that, but in verse 20, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who didn't ask for me. It's so clear that even the underprivileged, religiously speaking, Gentiles have understood the message. Well, now we've worked through, people were sent, people preached, the message was heard and even understood. What's left? What could the possible problem be? Why have the Israelites, of course then, the Israelites must believe. All the other conditions have been met. The message is clear. And yet, in verse 16, it clearly says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. And I love that it didn't end with all this, that it didn't end with God just saying, okay, I'm going to give it to the Gentiles then. Which, by the way, he did that as a tactic to make them, did you catch? To make them envious, to make the Israelites envious. He even tried, like, maybe, if I do, have tried that with your children, if you're a parent, maybe you've done something like that. Well, if I show the good thing to this child, maybe that one will want it too. He even tried that by offering it to the Gentiles. Now, that was part of his plan all along, to include the Gentiles. It was not really, just to reassure you, we are not a byproduct, a side product. He also, he says, everyone will be saved. I came for all. Okay? But in verse 21, we know now it's clear they have not accepted it, but I love that he didn't leave us there. He gave us words of hope. Now this sounds weird, I'm sure. Like, let's leave the verses and see. This does not sound like hope, does it? All day long I held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Where's the hope in that? Oh, here's the hope. Here's the hope. It's a clear acknowledgement of their rebellion. It's a clear acknowledgement that they ultimately are having the choice here to believe or not. But it also is a clear acknowledgement of who God is.
Amen.
God is a God that is never changing, constantly loving, and holding his arms out all day long. Arms out, pleading in love. It's like a parent with a child. Kind of like this. Now, Titus had the option. This is my son, for those of you that are visiting and do not realize this. This is my son, Titus, and he is great at giving hugs and coming when running when I open my arms. But who had the choice? Who just now ultimately had the choice to come running or not?
He did.
He had a choice. God made the way. Jesus paid the price, made the way. God is standing with his arms open wide to the Israelites and to us. But we have the choice to come running or not. I don't know where you are. I don't know each of you personally. But if that's where you are currently, standing and making that choice, then I want you to know and hear today that God is standing. He is a loving Father holding his arms out to you. All who call on his name will be saved. Let's run into his arms. Then what happens when we run into his arms? When we run into his arms and we feel that love, that forgiveness, and that reunion of the relationship, when it has been restored, there's a beautiful thing that happens. And the beautiful thing actually, naturally, would drive us to a natural response. When I find something awesome, I want to tell others. Let me help you think of this. Think of it this way. How many of you are foreigners living here in Macedonia? Yeah, a lot of us, okay? Not all, I realize that, but a lot of us are. How many of you have been shopping and you find a product you hadn't found before? I remember this when Oreos came into the country. Do you know what I immediately did? I got on my phone and I called someone that I knew loved Oreos. And I said, hey, you'll never believe Oreos are here. And here's where they are and here's where they can be found. Or an amazing sale. That would be appropriate for all of us. Like even if it's not finding a product that's new, but you see the sale that you're just like, I can't believe that. You let your friends know. Or... Remember when you first met, if you're married, when you first met your spouse? Did you want to keep it quiet when they agreed to start dating you? Or they asked you out for the first time, or you asked them out and they said yes? Look at Facebook. What gets announced immediately? Ooh, in relationship. Right? I mean, when we find something and there's a joy in that, we want to share it with others. Okay? So for those of us that have found the loving embrace of God, let's go back to that moment. Let's remember what an amazing gift of grace. What an amazing love. And let's share that with others. Not because it earns us anything, but because we can't keep quiet. And we want others to be able to experience the same thing. And they're not going to be able to believe that these four conditions aren't met. Remember the four conditions? What was the first one? Someone has to be?
Same.
The second one?
Preach.
Someone has to preach. The third one?
Heard.
Has to be heard. And the fourth?
Believe.
All right. See, you're doing really well. You're keeping up with me. Okay, so someone has to be sent. The Bible makes it clear as we look at the Bible that actually God is asking us to go with him. He's already on mission. He's already out there. He doesn't need us, by the way. This is a great privilege that we get to work with him. He's already on mission, and he invites us to be on mission with him. He sends us into the world, the Great Commission. He invites us to share his message with those around us. For some of us, that means moving to a country that's not our own. Many of us are already in a country that's not our own. But even once you're here, or if you're in your own country, who is the world he's sending you to? If you're a student, I'd like to say that's the kids that you go to school with. If you go to work, that's the people you work with. If you go to the grocery store, that's the cashier and the other people that are grocery shopping with you. If you happen to have a house or rent an apartment, that's your neighbors. Who are you encountering on a regular basis? Who's the world God's sending you to? We've been sent. We're asked to go on mission with him. To take and preach the message, the good news message. It's really a very simple message. It's a message of Jesus Christ. If you have no other tool and don't know how to do it, you just the whole one. That one can be done on a napkin. That one can be done verbally. But if you want to draw it down, very simple one that you can do, using even just John 3:16, if you only know one verse. We need to preach the good news, not just in our actions, but in our words as well, letting them know. That does not mean preaching here. That means just telling them the message of Christ. And we need to make sure they know the message of Christ. Now, to many, that becomes all of a sudden a scary thing, doesn't it? I don't have the words for that. I'm not a preacher. I can't stand up front. I'm not an evangelist. I can't stand on the corner and talk to the crowds. That's okay. God knows exactly who you are. He made you exactly the way he did. He put you in the circles that he put you, and he will give you the words to say. Sometimes it's out of our abilities, and sometimes it's out of our weaknesses. I was at a friend's house many years ago, and they had a piano, and they said, "Do you know how to play the piano?" I said, "Oh, no, not really." They said, "You're stumbling." They said, "Well, I know one song. I mean, I took lessons when I was a kid, but I only remember one." He said, "I'll play it." I said, I don't think I can play it anymore. They're like, come on. So I sat down, and luckily it was just an audience of two. So I sat down, and I played. I said, "Oh, does this song have words? Oh no, if I can't play a song, I certainly can't play and sing a song. Like, that's not me." And they're like, come on. And I said, "Okay." So I started playing and singing. Now I can't sing it well enough to sing in front of all of you, so that was an audience of two, and it was already intimidating, but it was the song, "Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God." And they said, "That's beautiful, what does it mean?" That was out of my weakness. I don't know how to play and sing a song, but out of my weakness, that opened the door for me to be able to share the message of Christ, because if we seek first the kingdom of God, if we seek God first, that's what we need to be doing, then all the other things are added unto us. It was a very God moment. He can use us in our strength and in our weakness. Sometimes it's things like that. I've been working with them. I love them. They were dear friends. I saw them regularly. Sometimes it's very just out of the blue when God wants to use us. And if we need to just stay walking close enough with God that they catch these moments. Last week, many of you were here and heard William's testimony. What you may not have caught, because it wasn't shared last week, and you may not have ever heard us explain this. I was actually walking along the street, passing a bus stop, when Williams calls out, "Hey, where are you from?" Now, I could have kept walking. I don't know why, but I stopped and engaged. was in English. He was asking. We wanted to. Actually, my first thought was that he's trying to pick me up, which was kind of random. But anyway, I was like, well, I'll just stop and talk to him for a minute. So I stopped, and we began talking. Through that conversation, I invited him to church. And you heard the testimony. You heard the rest of the story. That was just walking by a bus stop, guys. We just need to be close to God, ready to share who he is in the right moment when he gives us those moments, and have our eyes ready for those times. What we need to do with arms outstretched. We are an extension of God's arms. We saw that God is doing this. And as believers, as people walking with him, he's asking us to be an extension of his arms to the world. We are the message of Christ to the world around us. When we're sharing Christ, are we doing it this way or this way? You need to believe in Jesus. Okay? No, I know I'm obviously exaggerating, guys, but it makes a difference. Now, again, I'm going to go back to Williams because many of you know him and you know his story. The reason the story continued is because when he came to church, you did this. So I, in the moment, stopped at a bus stop and talked to him and invited him. But the reason he continues to come is because all of you did this to him.
Amen.
We, and now he's doing this to others. Thank you, Brenda. Exactly. Exactly. We do not know how much time we have left here on earth. We know Jesus is returning someday. We don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. We don't know if it's going to be in 1,000 years. We don't know. What I do know is we're one day closer than we were yesterday.
Right.
We also do not know how long our own lives will be. We do not know any of those things. But we know this is truth. We know that if the word is not said and preached and given to people with arms open wide, they have no chance to believe. They can't reach that fourth condition without the first ones being met. And God has invited us to do that. And so we need to go out and do this. We're a part of it. God has invited us to be a part of it. And it's a natural response because of the amazing gift of love that he's given us. We want to do this. And again, if it makes you nervous, everyone breathe heavy, breathe sigh of relief. It is not dependent on us if they believe or not. If that fourth condition is met, it has nothing to do with us. God's part with this. Our part, he's invited us to help share that message. And that fourth condition is met, based on if the person chooses to believe or not. Even Paul was an amazing preacher, an amazing communicator of the gospel. Says, why won't the Israelites believe? And then in Corinthians, he talks, 1 Corinthians, he talks about, I've become all things to all men so that some might believe. In 1 Corinthians, he also says, 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 9. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Here he's writing about himself. Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow.
Right.
So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. We need to do our part. And then trust God. And we can rest assured in that. We can rest assured in that. And we can rest assured that he will. He will. And some will choose to believe and some won't because that's human nature. But are we doing our part? And are we doing it with fervency? We need to go out today and preach the message of Christ as if everything depended on us. And rest assured that God is sovereign, so everything actually depends on him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for, first of all, loving us so much that you made a way for us to have righteousness through Christ, to regain the relationship with you, have forgiveness, and restore that relationship. Lord, thank you that you're the Father with arms open wide, ready to embrace us as we come to you. I thank you for that. Now, God, help us to be extensions of your arms to those around us. Help us to show your love to others and help them know who you are, so they too have the chance to respond and feel the love of your embrace and the beauty and the peace that comes with a restored relationship with you, Lord. And thanks for allowing us to be a part of your mission here on earth. I love you, Lord.